Welcome to the free webinar series for EFL ESL teachers by Bingo Bongo Learning. I am your host, Jeremy Lanig, and today we are joined by guest Tyson Battino of OneCoin English. Today is webinar number 3, how to get more students for your offline and online schools. So today we're going to jump into the business side of teaching English. The past 2 webinars we've looked at flipped learning and blended learning, more of the in-the-classroom lesson planning side of things, but today let's get into the nuts and bolts of the business. All right, before that, I would like to introduce myself. And so, like I said, my name is Jeremy Lanig. I am originally from the United States of America. I came to Japan in 2006 after finishing my master's degree in mathematics. I came here from Wisconsin, originally from Oregon. Quite a cold place, Wisconsin, and I don't miss it at all. I hear that Tyson is in a very cold place, so let's ask him about that in a moment. But yeah, I studied math, and it's fun. I love the logic and the thinking and the problem solving side of things. However, it's a very abstract world, and I thought if I left the world of math, I could apply that to other things, such as teaching English or running a business. So I'm happy to be applying all of the things I learned in grad school, studying math, to everything I do now. All right, so that said, what do I do now? I created a company called Bingo Bongo Learning. It's a resource company for... we basically have a 10-year curriculum starting for kids 3 years and up, and it's really cool. We got all these awesome fun books, worksheets, songs, apps, all kinds of things. So I mentioned those in previous webinars. If you're interested in that, please take a look. On top of that, 10 years ago, I started an English conversation school called Step by Step Eikaiwa here in Japan. And it's been, so 10 years, and... Man, anyone who is in my shoes, who just thinks, okay, well, I've been teaching a few students here and there. I've got a few parents asking me, hey, can you come to our house and teach our kids? You think, oh, why don't I just start my own business teaching English? And if you're like me, a lot of business owners or teachers, they might start focusing on the lesson planning or the teaching side of things, the classroom interior, just all of the things, but they don't have necessarily enough time or experience to start thinking about marketing right away. And for me, other things such as like training other teachers. So all of these things that we need to really have a solid background or a good grasp of when we start a business. And so if you're like me, it's been a lot of learning things the hard way or reinventing the wheel. So if you have recently started an English school, or you've got some weak spots, or you're thinking about maybe starting your own business in the future, I think today's webinar is going to be really good to see how to start preparing or how to think about the business side of things so that you can grow your school faster than maybe you have up until now. All right, so then a couple things before we start. 2 weeks ago was the first webinar of the series. The title was Future-Proofing Your Lessons. I decided to change the title a little bit to Using QR Codes for Fun Homework Assignments. We looked at how to use Bingo Bongo's resources with the ABC Fun Box, our new teaching app, how to create QR code-based assignments for in-class, for at-home, just to create a really solid flipped learning program. Then last week, we sat down with Adam Cardos from AAS Press, and we talked about how to start getting better results in class. And Adam showed us his phenomenal app called the Gamerize Dictionary. It's very, very cool. So if you missed either of those webinars, please search Bingo Bongo Webinar, and you can find both of those on our website. And the last thing before we introduce Tyson is we are offering e-certificates. So we've had some people reach out and say, we would like an e-certificate after watching the webinar. Can you provide those? Yes, we can. Just send your name and email address to us via email, or if you're watching live now on Zoom, just throw those into the chat box. The host or the co-hosts are the only ones who can see that information, so all of your personal information is protected and safe. All right, so today's topic then, how to get more students for your offline and online school. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Tyson Battino. He has been in the language industry for over 16 years with a ton of experience working in Eikaiwa, which is English conversation schools. He worked as an ALT, an assistant language teacher in public schools, and he worked training and managing 150 full-time teachers at a large dispatch company, a teacher dispatch company in Yokohama City. And that's just the beginning of his resume. He also co-founded the seventh biggest Eikaiwa school for adults in Japan called One Coin English, as well as another company called Japan Switch, which specializes in affordable Japanese lessons. He is now helping language schools and other business owners scale their businesses from the hundreds of thousands of dollars of annual revenue to multi-million dollar annual revenue companies and beyond. So he's helping them out as a personal business coach. He sounds very busy. So with that said, let's welcome Tyson to the webinar. Hey, Tyson.
Hey, glad to be on the show, Jeremy.
Hey, man.
And I hope to
thanks for joining us, man. You're only our second guest, so bear with me as we figure out the technical side of things. But holy cow, man, that's quite a resume. Did I leave anything off of that?
I also created a site called BFFTokyo.com.
Okay.
We get about 20,000 visitors a month in Japan.
Okay.
And if you're looking for information on jobs, we have, if you just search part-time jobs in Tokyo, we're probably ranked one or two. Online jobs in Japan, we're probably ranked one or two. And if you're looking for any information on jobs or visa in Japan, we got like 15, 20-page, very thorough articles that will give you all the information you need to succeed in Japan. And that was part of my passion project while working at OneCoin English.
Nice. Yeah, people ask me, like, do you ever sleep? But I have to ask you the same question. How do you have enough time to balance all this stuff out?
It's, I would say I do work around 10 hours a day.
All right. Cool. Well, before we jump into the marketing side of things, can I ask you a few personal questions just to get to know you?
Go for it.
Cool. So what brought you to Japan?
So I'm half Okinawan. And I wanted to get in touch with the roots.
Nice.
And make some money to go to grad school. And I never ended up going to grad school.
Okay. Nice. So when did you come to Japan? You said 16 years ago, right?
2004.
Okay. So just a couple of years before
me. I guess 17, yeah.
Nice. So about your companies, are you currently active then in all of them? How do you balance your time? Because, you've got, what, three companies plus the coaching side of things?
Yes. So with OneCoin English, I'm still on the leadership team. So okay. I'm on the team that makes big decisions. I also help with some of their major operation projects that affect all employees in the company.
Mm-hmm.
And I also am running Japan Switch as a director. We have about probably 250 Japanese language students, both online and offline in Tokyo. And I do the marketing for that. And let's see, I just make sure everything's working.
Okay.
But I guess the trick is I do something, I figure it out, I make it a manual, I turn it into a manual. I find good people, I train them very well, and they can handle most of the day-to-day work for me.
I see.
So where I just focus on the big picture.
Right. So systemize, automize. Yeah, that's a good thing, I think, for anyone in our shoes.
And I guess one quick thing. It's since the company OneCoin English is really big, we have around 200 employees. Japan Switch has around 25 employees.
Okay.
My job is to make sure the interior inside works good, but I also have to spend a good amount of time each week learning about the outside world.
Okay.
So I can adjust to economic changes, marketing changes, and just so I can prepare the business and we can make a shift when needed. So I'm not going to be caught by surprise. And that's how you be a good CEO, is having that mixture of both internal and external.
Okay, nice. Yeah, you mentioned you have online and offline students. That's kind of one of the running themes of this webinar series is, pandemic hits. A lot of schools have to go online. Were you teaching Japanese lessons online before the pandemic started, or was that a result of the pandemic?
It was a result of the pandemic.
Okay. Yeah, and so I kind of like to ask this question to everyone that comes on the webinar, but do you think that online lessons are going to become the norm? Is that something that us, you know, school owners, is that something we're going to have to worry about in the future, like more and more?
Gotcha. I mean, people have been worried about it for like the last 8 years.
Okay.
They're worried that, you know, DMM or Rare Job, they're just going to wipe everyone out. But with my experience in OneCoin English, we've continued to grow rapidly despite the increase of people using online. And based on my experience, I think there's a group of people who, the very hardcore learners, they're going to go to online.
Yeah.
Because they want to learn a lot really quickly and for a cost-effective price, and you can only do that online.
Okay.
So those people either go to online or the kind of like the Rise Up or Spartan model.
Okay, sure.
Of Ikaiwa. But I, to be honest, most Japanese people, they just want a nice place to go once a week.
Okay.
Have a great chat, meet other people, and socialize. So I think online will not take over offline completely. It may shrink the market a little bit.
Okay.
But I think it is safe. But my personal thought is I think the hybrid model is going to be, if you want to grow your company, the hybrid model is probably what you have to do.
So where you're teaching, your students come in once a week, they do a man-to-man or person-to-person lesson, and then they go home and then follow up with some kind of online system. Is that what you mean by hybrid?
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, in our case, a lot of students, they like to take group lessons in person.
Yeah.
And private lessons online.
Got it. Okay. So two different services. Nice. Well, if you're telling me that the market's going to shrink, then it's going to be even more important for us to focus our marketing and make sure we know what we're doing in that sense. So let's jump into today's topic, which is how to get more students. And today I want to talk about marketing, but not the sense of free marketing. I know a lot of people say word of mouth. That's my biggest source of students. We're going to touch on that, but I want to get into the paid side of things. And maybe I want to get more students a little bit faster. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And just to give people an idea of the format, we chatted about kind of some rough topics that we're going to cover. As we talk about them, I'll throw in some follow-up questions. But if you have any questions that pop into your mind, please send those to us in the Zoom chat box if you're watching live. Otherwise, you can send us an email after the fact, and we're happy to get back to you on those. So we're looking forward to your questions at the end of the webinar. All right, so let's jump into question number one. So like I said, everyone says word of mouth. That's my best source of marketing. Do you think that it's the most effective way to get new students?
I think it's the most cost-effective
okay.
method of marketing.
All right.
So, for example, if your customer acquisition cost is zero,
right,
you can use that money, you know, to increase wages for your staff. You could focus on improving the system, improving the curriculum, or you can use the money for other things. So I think it's the most cost-effective method. And I personally think it's a great model for a school that has one teacher, or maybe it's one teacher or one owner with maybe one or two full-time teachers.
Okay.
I think it's a great method for that, up to two schools.
Okay.
but
so do you think,
and,
go ahead.
But I was going to say, if you want to grow your school quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you're starting your own school, but you want to get out of the classroom as soon as possible, word of mouth is not going to be an effective method because it's probably going to take you 3 to 4 years.
Right.
Just to get things running.
Okay.
And so if you're an owner who wants to double your school in size, so you want to open one school, two schools, four schools, it's impossible with word of mouth. And I think once you hit about 200,000 annual revenue in US,
mm-hmm.
so about...
it's like 20 million.
Yeah, 20 million. So maybe about the 200 student point.
Right.
You know, your growth speed is definitely going to start to slow down. And okay. in some cases, you could maybe grow 1.2x, but 1.5x, 2x is, I would say, is almost impossible, except if you have an idea or a niche that's easy to share. So the problem with word of mouth is a current student has to share about your service to someone who's actively looking for studying English.
Right.
So it's so if you have two moms, but for example, during COVID, like a lot of moms aren't talking together. They're not going out together talking. So they may have friends who are actively searching, but since they're not talking, word of mouth is not that effective.
Right. No, that...
So it's one...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that's kind of on par with what my school up in, you know, for the last 5 years. I think about 3 or 4 years ago, I got really tied up with Bingo Bongo, and I wanted to invest more of my resources into printing and publishing. And so marketing was one of the budgets that kind of got cut back. And so we thought, well, let's see what happens if, you know, we don't spend any money on marketing. And yeah, I mean, we didn't shrink, but we definitely did not grow. And then the pandemic hit, and it's just been, you know, it's not, I don't think, an ideal situation. So you want to, I think we're saying that if you're small and you plan on staying small, then word of mouth is going to be good enough to get you by. You can use your money to, yeah, but you're kind of in trouble if you know, you run into a rainy day, like when the pandemic hits, and I'm sure there's other situations.
So yeah, I think if people are out there, and so it's, so the challenge with word of mouth is, if you need to have something, an idea that's easy to share with other people. Okay. So in the case of OneCoin English, mm-hmm. So in the adult market, you know, like Aeon, ECC, adults are, they're not going to refer their friend.
Right.
Because, you know, they might be paying 200,000, 400,000 yen or $2,000, $4,000. Mm-hmm. It's just too expensive. So no one's going to refer their friend unless you give them a lot of money.
Yeah.
But with OneCoin English, because it's such a low price, it's easy to recommend to their friend.
Okay.
Because if it turns out that the recommendation isn't that good, which isn't the case, but the friend won't get mad because they're like, oh, that's a good price. So it also depends on your price point. And the last thing I'll say is word of mouth could be effective if you have like a niche market. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you just teach doctors.
Right.
And one of your doctors is good, like, oh, why is your English so good? Oh, this teacher taught me.
Right.
So if you have a niche market, word of mouth could be effective.
Okay. Right on. Yeah, I always wonder about that. With, you know, English conversation, you'd want to have the smallest possible class to, you know, get more communication, more speaking time. Why would you go and invite your friends and make your, you know, class numbers bigger? It always, I mean, maybe they'll join a different class, and that's great. And I should also mention that my school primarily teaches kids, whereas you primarily teach adults. So, right? Am I correct on that?
That is correct.
Okay. So anybody listening, if there's, you know, I've got one perspective and Tyson might have a different perspective. Keep in mind, we have very different backgrounds. You're in the biggest city in the world, one of the biggest, and I'm in the smallest prefecture in Japan. So we've got a lot of variance in our experience, I'm sure. But all right. So with that said, let's jump into our next question. And this is an interesting topic. I posted this in a group of school owners recently and said, well, you know, what percentage of your annual revenue should you be spending on marketing? And some people, you said, well, why think of it, you know, as a percentage? And, you know, so I guess the first thing I want to ask is, do we think about percentages, or how much should schools spend on marketing if we want to grow at a more reasonable rate?
For that. Oh, sorry, I had one more thing to mention about word of mouth. Sorry.
So let's go.
Actually, for my Japanese language school, Japan Switch, mm-hmm. we recently had an effective friend introduction campaign. But in our case, let's see, we gave the friend a nice discount and we gave the student free lesson. So, and the reason we did that is because right now, because of COVID, mm-hmm. it's people are more sensitive with spending money.
Sure.
And in our case, you know, there's a shrinking amount of foreigners in Japan.
Right.
So for that reason, like, how do we reach foreigners in Japan? Friend introduction is the way to go.
Okay.
But we had to offer incentive, but it was actually cheaper than we would have spent on marketing. So for us, it was a win-win.
Right. And so when we jump into the paid marketing thing, I want to ask you, like, should a school think about a price for getting a new student? If I can, you know from my data that a student's going to stay for at least 1 year and generate, you know, say, let me see if I can do this math here, 100,000 yen, which would be around, what, $1,000 US? So if you're guaranteed $1,000, can I think about like, okay, I'm willing to pay X amount to get a student? Is that a, like if someone said, hey, Jeremy, I'll recommend a student if you give me 10,000, if you give me $100, I'll recommend a student. Would you take somebody up on that offer?
Yes.
Yes. So they're, okay, 20,000. So
so how I think about it is, I think paid marketing is excellent for established schools.
Okay.
The reason for that is if you're starting a new school, you're not going to have this data. But established schools, you know how, on average, you know how long your students stay.
Sure.
So they have a term called lifetime value, and that's the amount of revenue one customer gives on average. So I think in Jeremy's case, he was just mentioning, so maybe the lifetime value of a customer is $1,000.
Yeah.
Or 100,000 yen. In that case, so I would kind of separate into a couple situations. Like I would say if you own the building for your school, mm-hmm. I would probably be willing to pay more money.
Okay.
The main reason is you're not, let's say, maybe your rent's lower, or maybe you own the building, or maybe your wife's family owns the building.
Right.
And in that case, because you're not paying rent, I would actually spend more money on marketing.
Okay.
Because you want to grow the school faster. But in my case, if you're paying the rent for your school, I would say probably you would, I mean, worst case is like, let's say you're getting 5x.
Okay.
So if your lifetime value is 100,000, you're paying 20,000 per customer. I'll say that's probably the minimum before, like, let's say, it starts to affect your budget for people, your budget for everything else.
Right. That's interesting because...
But I would say... I was going to say if you could hit... Or would you like to go first? I was going to mention what is
ideal. I don't mean to... You're the guest.
I was going to say... I would say if you could get 20x, that would be amazing.
Okay.
But so, it kind of depends. It's so how much would I pay for a student? It depends on how fast I would want to grow. So in my case, I would probably want 1/8 or 1/10, but I would like to grow aggressively. If I was more of I wanted to save a lot of money, so for example, like I'm afraid of loans, I might go to like a 1/15 ratio.
Okay.
So it's this is a hard question to answer because I would if a client were to ask me that, I would just ask them like, what are your goals in life?
Right.
Then I'll come up with a financial simulation to calculate what is the ideal rate, calculating the other costs of their business. But to summarize, I'll say 1/5, you don't want to go more than that. And I'll say ideally, you could get 1/10 or 1/20
of
the lifetime value.
I mean, because kids, if you're in kids' Eikaiwa, you can pretty much, I mean, it's, I think, if a student signs up at 3 or 4 years old when they're in kindergarten, there's a good chance that on average they're going to stay for at least 5 years. And so, you know, talking about those numbers, if you can guarantee $5,000, say $1,000 per year, 5 years, 5,000, so that you're telling me that I could spend up to, you know, 50,000. If I don't know if I need to spend this much, but you're saying that that would, you know, be something that's not outrageous.
That is correct. And if I were to, or in the case of OneCoin English, you know, we pretty much tripled in size. We tripled, doubled to like, I think in 6 years without taking a loan, we got to, I think, 11 schools and 7,000 students.
Very impressive. That's awesome. Okay. So then, I guess then let's, we can talk about how much, you know, if you can find that number, what is the cost of acquisition? Is that the official term here?
Yeah, customer acquisition cost.
Thank you. All right. So if you know that number, and I'm just going to just say 10,000 yen because it's an easy number to play with here. And I want to, like, I've got 20 students now and I need to grow. I want to get at least, you know, twice that in as fast as possible. So I should ramp up my marketing budget. Is that what you're saying?
I would say if you've taught for more than a year, then yes. But I would say if it's 3 months, no. The reason for that is if you've only taught for like 3 months or 6 months, you don't know the lifetime value.
Right.
But if you've taught, like if you taught for 4 years, 5 years, I think probably most schools that have been running for 5 years, they probably don't spend enough on marketing.
Okay. To grow at a fast enough rate.
Yes, because they have the data that shows like how long students stay, and usually after 4 or 5 years, they have a solid curriculum for all the ages, as opposed to someone who may have just taught for six their school for 6 months or 1 year.
Right.
They might not have enough student support, or they don't understand the yearly cycles.
Okay.
Like, how do you prevent students from quitting in this month?
Right.
They don't have that level of sophistication yet. So that's why. So I think we could go more into your question, like how much should schools spend on marketing? But if someone were to ask me that question, I would ask a lot of questions to make a calculation.
Okay. And
But
you,
to summarize,
yeah.
I was going to summarize, if you're a new school, I would probably avoid paid marketing. The main reason is you might just blast money away because you don't know how to do, or marketing is new for you. Retaining customers is new for you, and running a business is new for you. And so
Sure.
you're just doing so many new things that to add paid marketing to that, it makes it so much harder. And plus, your website might not be good enough
Okay.
for paid marketing.
Okay. Got it. So then and that's a good point. The website, I guess that's getting more. What would you consider the website? What kind of marketing is that? Is that like an awareness type of, marketing? You're not, I mean, you're going to get students from that necessarily, or directly, but it's hard to can you gauge the cost of acquisition based on a website? Like, say, how much am I going to spend on a website if you're a new school? And, is the quality going to be sufficient, like you're saying, to retain students, to get new students.
So I guess my first answer would be, I think for a decent site, you're probably spending between $2,000 and $5,000. The problem, though, is so for example, I would call myself a conversion rate optimizer, not a web designer.
Okay.
Meaning, when I design a website, I really think about it being a journey, and how do I get someone to the contact form?
Right.
So convert, someone sends the contact form, that's called a conversion. So it's when I make a website, I design it for conversion. So the problem with a lot of school owners is when they ask someone to design their website, they might be asking someone who's a designer
Okay.
who can make a nice looking website. But the key for a website is conversion rate optimization, not design.
Fair
So I
enough.
think that's the thing to be aware of. And I think it's let's say usually it's I would say usually people who are conversion rate optimizers, they usually can't make the prettiest designs.
Okay. That makes sense.
So I think that's the one thing to be aware of is when you do get someone to design your site, it's try to find someone who know who actually runs like who actually runs a school.
Okay, somebody with experience in the field. So I know a lot of school owners, they think, well, there's all these, WordPress, Wix, there's all these, super cheap options where I can jump in and just throw in some pictures and type in some copy or some text myself. Do you recommend that, new school owners jump in and do that? Or would you say just that's something you should outsource?
I would say not ha having a website is more often better than not having a website. So I'd say a site that you just whipped up together with good photos. So I would definitely pay, even if you have a bad site, pay money for good photos.
Okay.
It's cheaper than paying someone to make a good website.
Right.
So I think it's a I think great photos are is a very cost-effective method of marketing.
Okay. Give yourself
And
a
you
good
won't
image.
just use it for your website, you use it for your flyers, you use it for your school. So if you take good photos for like maybe 20,000, you pay some 30,000 yen, you use it for everything. Whereas opposed to a website, you really would have to pay. And yeah, my first thought is for someone who makes, they should probably not spend a lot of money on their first website.
Okay.
The reason for that is you might change your service.
Yeah, I mean, I've changed it tons.
So I think that if you're a school owner and you make a WordPress site, your friends might poo-poo on your site, but don't feel bad about it. I actually think it's the most cost-effective decision.
That's a good kind of
And
placeholder until you get your bearings, get your services
exactly.
decided, and you can go from there. Nice.
And so I'll show everyone can see my site, like scalingyourcompany.com. Like, it's a pretty good looking site. I put it together in like 8 hours.
Okay.
And the reason was I needed something for people to look at while I really figure out my service. So, but now that I have a pretty strong idea of my service, probably around April, I'm going to do a completely rebuild of the site just because I know what my customers want now.
Right.
I know their problems, their pain points, and I'm going to design my service around that. So sorry, that was a very long-winded way of explaining it.
What?
But I wanted to make owners feel at ease about their site and not... I have a lot of coaching clients who own schools, around 10, and they're getting pitched to improve their website all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a good topic because we're talking about free marketing and we're talking about paid marketing. And when I say paid marketing, I think, you know, posting or sending out flyers or, you know, online ads. But the website blogging, that's kind of a gray area because it's really, I think, critical to have that. Because anything you do, like you said, with paid advertising, it's going to come back to your website, and that's going to be where you have to, you know, capture the sale. So, yeah, I didn't really think about that in terms of the outline of today's conversation. But no, it's a great place to put it in. So, thank you for that. All right, so let's jump into our next question. So let's say a new school is, or they get to the point where they have a budget, they want to start spending money on marketing. And, well, what three forms would you recommend to a school just getting started? And the reason I ask is because last year I thought we should mix it up. We should start, you know, trying some new things with marketing. And we spent a lot of money in kind of our city's most popular free paper and got maybe zero phone calls out of it. So I thought, well, should I think of this as an awareness campaign or should I bail on it? So are there three kind of just go-to marketing campaign types that you would recommend to a new school?
Yeah, so it's, yeah, a lot of those free papers, let's see, or like, you know, magazines. I won't say names in Tokyo. There's a lot of magazines and stuff.
I wouldn't know any.
They rip people off.
Okay.
But like, they definitely overcharge
right
for the value they provide. And I would say only if you do a premium service, meaning like you pay $1,000 for it.
Right.
But if you get one, your customer acquisition thought is $1,000 and you get one student.
Right.
And that's, then I think
that's,
those.
That's about what we paid. I mean, about $1,000 a month for these ads. And, you know, I don't know if the timing was off or what, but so go ahead.
I usually don't recommend them to my clients because I tell them, like, in your case, you're a quantity business. Not a quantitative or like, you know, high cost. So if it's super high cost, I would recommend it. If you're like a low cost, 10,000 per student, I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
But to answer your question, the three forms of marketing.
Yeah.
It's for me, I would say one is handout flyers.
Okay.
So just go out on the street, go to the popular places, hand out flyers to your school. The reason for that is people don't know you. If they go to your website, all the photos are fake.
Okay.
And you don't have any reviews. You don't your classes are empty. And why is someone going to sign up for your school when you're not established in Japan? So you have to think about from the customer, like, what would make them to take a risk on you? And that's meeting you in person. If they meet you in person, you're lovely. They're going to take that risk, despite you not having all the other trust factors.
Okay. And can I interrupt for a moment?
Oh, go for it.
You know, if I were to walk around to try to find the busy places in Kagawa, I think there's going to be like one izakaya, which is like a Japanese-style bar. So would you say that in the countryside or the rural case, that posting where in Japan, this is legal, you can walk around and put flyers in people's mailboxes or postboxes. So would you say that's a good equivalent for the countryside or the rural case?
Yeah, and I'll make sure you're just doing it so often that people, and you have your face on the flyer.
Okay.
You have your face on the flyer, people see you posting it, and they're like, oh yeah, that's the guy from the flyer. He's nice. He's always smiling, friendly. I see him all the time. So okay. Just kind of being out there. And so people can connect you. And so, yeah, definitely have that picture.
Okay.
I would also do a physical sign with your picture on top too.
Okay.
So people just continually, they're seeing your face, they're seeing your face, they're seeing your face, and until the point, like, they give you a try.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, rather than doing digital marketing, mm-hmm. because your school doesn't have, like, in our case of OneCoin English, we can do digital marketing easily. Like, we have 7,000 students.
Right.
We don't need to convince people to trust us. If you know Must School Deluxe, we've been on her TV programs 5 times.
She's a famous Japanese comedian, right?
Yes. Okay. And I have confirmed her pronoun is she. I confirmed.
I'm sorry. I have no idea. I've heard the name. I don't watch much Japanese TV, so. Okay.
But I'll just say it's a top 3 or top 5 person in Japan personality.
Okay.
But cool. Anyhow, in our case, and we've been in tons of magazines, so it's, we don't need to convince people.
Yeah.
And they've, like, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, we saw you on TV. So once we do the ad, bam, they come.
So when you're on, you say you're on this TV show, or, you know, you've had all this different media appearance. Are you paying for this, or how are you arranging these kinds of, mass media appearances?
That would be like a $10,000 answer.
Okay. So there's, but, I mean, I've been on, so in Japan, there's I don't know what he is, a personality, a famous guy, Sanma-san.
Oh, wow. That's super. He's top 5
I've
as well.
I've been on his show. I got like a 15-minute slot and I played guitar. I'm not even a musician. And I was like, anyway. And recently we got an inquiry from this really famous Japanese show called Seikai Nantoka Itteikyu. And it's probably really famous and popular. But yeah.
Oh, so it is famous.
There are these ways to get in there. I'm just wondering, like, do you guys, is that something you aim for? You plan out this in your marketing campaigns? Or is this something that you get lucky or just... It's just
gotcha.
Case by case.
In the bigger stages of your company, or kind of at our level, you would probably have one person who just is a PR person.
Okay. And so that's how you can arrange that. Well, that's cool. That's, I'm a big fan of that kind of indirect long-term marketing where I've got a Guinness World Record for eating the noodles that are local in my area and just stuff like that gets your name out there. It's
exactly,
you can't really like, oh, I'm going to spend all my money on this campaign to get, it's just something that you want to be doing. And if it works out, it works out. But okay. So
that is my thought.
Let's get us back on track here. So you said number one, posting or handing out flyers. And then you said number two, signage. So getting a big sign with your face on it.
Yeah, big sign on your face. But the key point is having your face, people seeing your face all the time. And in Jeremy's case, getting that world record, maybe getting in the local newspapers, just getting your face out there. And when you talk about scaling your business, there's activities that scale your business and things that don't scale your business. And when you're starting out your business, you really need to focus on things that don't scale. Okay. Meaning you're not going to be out there forever just handing out flyers.
Right.
But when you start out your business, all the things that don't scale is what you're doing to create trust.
Maybe you have more time to do them as well. Whereas, you know, once you get busy and you can't go out and hand out flyers personally.
Yeah, that is exactly.
Okay.
But, and that, for example, if you're not famous, mm-hmm. you have to do things that don't scale.
Okay.
So for example, I do like business owner coaching, but I'm kind of famous within the foreigner community of business owners just because I've created one of the biggest company for Westerners in Japan.
Okay.
So that's why it's I don't need to do things that don't scale anymore because I have that reputation. But if you don't have reputation, you just got to put your face out there like crazy. Handing out the flyers with your picture, physical signs with the picture. And the other one I would say is try to accept as many jobs as possible with, like, you know, teaching preschools. Teaching maybe community classes, teaching online. And the reason is you want to get booked as soon as possible, because if you have a school, you're paying rent, you want to pay that rent, you want to pay yourself as soon as possible. So you want to be making money as soon as possible. But not only that, if you're teaching the preschool, you're teaching the community lessons, you might do like a free lesson at the community center. You're just getting your face out there so much that people see you and that they're going to be telling their friends, they'll give you a chance.
Okay, so you're if I'm hearing you correctly, you want to just do anything to get you out in the community, get your face, get your personality known, let them interact, and if you're in, you know, a community center, if you're at a kindergarten, elementary school, they're going to see your services firsthand and say, I need more of that. And so you can get students that way.
And that's what I would do if I was in the countryside. If you're in Tokyo, you're just handing out flyers like crazy.
Okay,
got it. Tokyo, you need digital marketing in Tokyo.
Yeah, so I guess this scenario here is for small schools just starting out. So let's say a school is more established. Can we do a second case? Maybe you've got four locations and you got about 400 students and you want to grow. Would you still recommend the same three? Would you keep those three and then add more forms of marketing, or would you change your top three, and how would that work?
Gotcha. I would probably keep the first two, but I wouldn't do the third for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a time killer.
I'll definitely do digital marketing for the third.
Okay.
So digital and the main marketing. Reason for that, digital marketing. And if you have four schools, you're making maybe $500,000 a year. You need to be tracking everything. So where did every student come from, both offline, online? Mm-hmm. You need to know that by the back of your hand.
Okay.
And with my clients, I ask a lot of them every week or every time we meet up, I always ask how many people inquired.
Right.
And just getting them, my clients, into the habit, you need to understand this every week, because if you know how it's going, you can plan for a month ahead.
Sure.
So for example, the first 7 days of the month, it was low. So I thought in my mind, okay, I need to counter this. We need a counter plan because this month things are dropping for some reason.
Got it.
So rather than waiting to the end of the month and being like, oh my God, student numbers decrease. So they call it in business, lagging indicators is if you wait to the end of the month and find out, you found out way too late, lagging. So right. It's kind of finding, they call it leading indicators. So I like to get my clients look at leading indicators in the first week, ideally. And you can kind of understand what's going to happen that month.
Cool. And it's, our school teaches primarily kids. And I think a lot of parents, at least in my area, in the countryside, this may not, this might just be a personal hunch. But I feel like a lot of parents, they want to get their kid enrolled in their extracurricular activities in April when the new school year starts. And then just let that, ride out and think about it again at the end of next March. So for me, it's been a challenge to think about the cycle or the timing of how do I get, how many students can I get throughout the year if it's not the peak signup season. But I guess that's going to be really a case by case. It's going to depend on a lot of different variables there, right?
Yeah. So for the kids marketing, it's kind of a joke, but I made a mock website for my customer. And one of the reasons to join our school is get a break. Go shopping.
All right, yeah.
Shop at the mall while your student studies.
Get off and get an hour babysitter. Okay, great. That's interesting. It's really insightful. We're talking about, I think, a lot of offline schools, and one of your schools is a hybrid school. So if somebody wanted to either do hybrid or they wanted to do online, focus solely on online teaching, would you recommend the same three forms of marketing to them? Or how would somebody go about getting a lot of new students quickly or as efficiently as possible with online teaching? Do you have any thoughts on that?
So my first thought is online, it's like a bloody ocean. Right. You're competing with the major ones Rare Job, QQ English. Okay. And even the big companies like Aeon, ECC, I'm pretty sure they're not doing that well online.
Okay.
It's just so competitive. So you can't compete on price.
Okay.
And because you can't compete on price, you have to compete on quality.
Yeah.
And how do you compete on quality? You need a niche.
Yeah, offer something that nobody else can really offer.
Yeah, so one would be you teach doctors, Japanese doctors, English.
Okay.
You teach researchers, English. So if you want to succeed online while charging a solid price, you really need a solid offering. So one method is choosing the right target. That would be probably one of the most effective marketing methods.
Okay.
Because if you choose the wrong market, no matter how hard you work, no matter what marketing you do, you're just going to be burning money.
Okay.
So that would be my first form of marketing, would be choosing the right business model.
Okay. Got it. And so, I mean, you could even invest, money into, you know, go to med school so you can teach doctors, or what if you don't have that niche? I guess you got to just find one.
I would find a doctor, offer them free lessons, get a testimonial.
All right. And on that note too, with kids, I don't think you're going to be teaching a lot of kid doctors or, you know, kid fishermen English. It's going to be harder with kids then in that case.
That would, and then my answer would be, you need to have the best platform.
Okay.
And, I'll throw it for, I'll say, Jeremy has some amazing materials.
It's like, I think it's got a long ways to go to compete with the big guys, but we're getting there. We'll do our best. But thanks for the plug, man.
But you do need a solid platform.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just simply lessons. That's why I said the hybrid model, because for a lot of school owners in Japan, you don't have the resources to make a solid online platform.
Yeah.
So that's why the hybrid model is excellent. You get students local to study in your online program. Then, because you don't have the platform to compete on a national level, mm-hmm. or the marketing, you don't have a marketing pro.
Okay.
Who can help you fight online.
So that slow transition, I like that. That's kind of in the back of my mind. I'm wondering, do we try that? We've already got, you know, like I said, this QR code based, flipped learning. We have kids going home and using online videos, and it wouldn't be a big, you know, too much of a stretch to turn that into an online, fully online program. So maybe this slow transition towards that would be something that we have to think about. And maybe other school owners as well, you know, how much more, you know, teaching or how much more, you know, services can you offer outside of the classroom? It might be something that we have to think about in a little more depth.
Yeah, because, the platform, I mean, there are platforms online that you could look for that, let's say, might give you an edge. I haven't looked into them personally. I do know a couple, but I can't say them because I'm actually helping a client with that.
Oh, yeah, no worries. That makes sense.
To take on the online market. But yeah, you definitely need the platform for that. But for most school owners out there probably listening here, I think you probably have to go with the hybrid model first.
Okay.
Gather a bunch of students, then consider going online.
Okay.
But if you want to go straight to online, unless you really need someone super skilled to do that. I mean, that's why a company is hiring me, because if they're going to need to hire teachers quickly, or they're going to need to train people quickly, if you're going to go just straight to online, you're going to have to spend a lot of money on marketing.
Yeah.
And because you're spending a lot of money on marketing, you're going to have to spend a lot of money on people.
Okay. And with online, if you go the online route, you've got a platform, you think obviously digital marketing, online marketing is the way to go. Like Google AdWords, Facebook ads, stuff like that?
For online, I kind of think you'll be blowing your money away.
Okay.
I would say the only case I would say is become a YouTuber, make a famous channel, then make an online school.
All right. Or see if you can get influencers on your side. Is there a service where you can start paying influencers? I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there is. There are influencers you could hire for that.
Okay.
But I would probably advise most people not to make a... I'll say if you're an individual, I think you could go for online. But as a school, you're going to have to invest a lot of resources to compete.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that. Let's go ahead and keep the slides moving here then. So... I think we're only just scratching the surface of marketing. There's a lot of things we're not really going into much depth on here, but I think it still gives people a really good idea that marketing is super important, and it's not something that you can just throw money at and you know be done with it. So in addition, obviously you coach people in marketing. Are there other areas of you know managing running a business that you focus and specialize on?
Yes. So actually, like probably only 1/4 of my clients are language schools.
Okay.
So I actually have clients who run e-commerce sites, online software, digital marketing agencies. Have a lot of variety in my clients because I like to solve many different problems. But I guess to answer this question, in business, you have kind of like the ground level workers, entry level workers. You probably have three levels. Then you have managers, mm-hmm. then like three levels of managers. Then you have senior. So I am at the senior level just because I've managed hundreds of people, OneCoin English, multi-million. And so I'm at the senior level. So the things that I help my clients with is a lot of schools that I meet. A lot of their managers, they might be at a manager one level. So I help coach their managers to reach level two, to reach level three.
Okay.
And the challenge is if you're a school owner, you might only be at a manager two level.
Right.
So how can you raise your staff to a manager three if the owner's level two?
Okay.
So in that case, I do help owners bring up the level of their staff. So kind of like training leadership.
Okay.
I also help some clients with recruitment. So I built a recruitment system. Like, you know, we get about hundreds of applicants a month. You know, we've hired like 15 people a month pre-COVID.
Okay.
And so I built a recruitment system to scale. I've also built, you know, since I worked at 150 teachers, I've also created training systems.
Right.
And the other one is I also helped run a lot of operations at OneCoin English. So let's say you have marketing department, you have curriculum department with, let's say, HR department, and they all have like 4 or 5 people.
Got it.
Full-time people and like 40 people. How do you get them moving in the same direction?
Okay.
So I help some of my bigger clients who have in the multi-millions. I kind of help them get all their teams aligned and move in the same direction.
Okay.
So I guess the best way to describe is I would say I'm like the COO and a chief operating officer.
Right.
And chief operating officer, they manage sales, they manage operations, they manage marketing. They also, in a lot of cases, they're in charge of the HR department as well. So I'm just that one person who can put everything together and I understand all the different parts.
Very nice. So what about for, you know, like us small guys? What if we're, you know, a smaller school and we just, you know, we don't really want to scale to, you know, 10 schools, maybe just keep what we've got, but get more students and, you know, make our systems more efficient. Do you have like just making our schools more like, I don't know what a word, scaling your school type of thing? Do you have a service like that? Or do you take on the small guys too?
So I do have a sweet spot for the small guys.
Okay.
Because I'm from a very local area in Hawaii.
Okay.
Let's say less than 10% of students go to university.
Wow.
So yes, so I do have I've come from, let's say the countryside. So I do have a sweet spot, but long story short, with my smaller clients, I usually help them just focusing on marketing first.
Okay.
The main reason is I want to give them peace of mind and stability.
Got it.
And then once after we get the marketing under control, I help them with how can they be less, let's say, where they're not working 50, 60 hours a week. They're not like, you know, like frustrated all the time.
Okay.
So how do I, let's say, how coming up with a delegation plan and making sure it a successful plan. You know, it's not, you're not just going to throw, hey, manager,
sure,
good luck. So it's kind of helping them come up with a solid plan, how to communicate. And yeah, just in my experience managing, or like the highest I was like 5 layers up.
Okay.
Like managers, manager, manager, manager.
Wow. I can't even comprehend, not from my experience, but that's really impressive. So, but I mean, this
because,
is kind of...
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, this is kind of a personal question, but for me, like with online marketing, with like SEO and like Google AdWords, it's really just kind of overwhelming. And I wish that there was somebody I could just throw that at and say, hey, onegaishimasu, can you do this for me? Is that a service that you would be willing to offer? Like if I just said, hey, I want to spend this much on my AdWord budget, could you take care of that? Because for me, it's the process of going, you know, from the English campaign to having it translated to Japanese. Stuff gets lost in translation. So is that a service that you have or would be willing to offer?
Gotcha. So at the moment, I am trying to train my clients how to do it on their own.
Okay.
Because I want them to, let's say, they're paying me good money, so I want them to definitely return. But I am considering making a digital marketing agency for schools.
Okay. I'll be in line for that.
So I'm considering it at the moment. I can coach people. I'm trying to convince my wife to do it.
Nice.
But it's not so easy. So it's so actually, if there is anyone who's listening to this who's Japanese, mm-hmm. native Japanese, and who can do some digital marketing, I would actually consider a potential partnership.
All right. You heard it here first, or maybe not first, but you heard it here. Okay, so let's... I'll go ahead.
Yeah, so I have some friends who are really amazing at marketing, but I actually checked with them, and let's say pretty much you need to be spending $4,000 or maybe even $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
And but they give results. Like,
yeah, I can imagine.
So the problem is... if you don't have that level of money, you're kind of working with, it's kind of a hit or miss.
Okay.
So one thing is, some of my clients, I would actually, I have a couple, but if we were to go that route, they know that they need to consult with me before they hire someone.
Okay.
Because I've checked, and yeah, so I think the only person I know out there, I'll give him a plug, but there's a guy named Junpei. I think he runs Nico Kids.
Yep, I know Junpei. He's a great guy.
Cool. When I
he's the next prefecture. He's my neighbor.
So I've researched kind of like marketing, mm-hmm. and I've seen you know he puts himself out there, and I've actually analyzed his stuff, and he knows his stuff.
All right.
Even though I've not met him personally, so I don't vouch for many people.
Okay, so if we can't come to you for SEO help, we can go to Junpei, and maybe he can help us out with the Google AdWords and the online side of things.
That is correct.
Cool. Well, so you sound super busy. Are you still, you're currently accepting new clients?
I can maybe accept a couple more. Like several of my clients have been upgrading. They want more sessions.
All right.
I've been getting a lot of demand, but I could maybe take two or three more clients. I can take one more for online. And my business model is I only accept one client per prefecture.
All right. Why is that?
So, the main reason is I want to show them my loyalty.
Okay.
And I want them help them dominate the prefecture.
So if they jump on with you and their competitor tries to ask you for your services, you'll just turn them down.
I have already turned down 4 people.
Wow. Good stuff. Well, if you wanna get some time with Tyson, you better hurry up. So, how do we contact you?
So I guess I can share my screen. Oops. Yeah. So here's my website.
Okay.
It's scalingyourcompany.com, and so you can just find out about me. Some of my clients, I just skimmed it through there quickly.
All right.
So I also have a podcast mm-hmm. called the Scaling Japan Podcast. So we just talk about HR. I'm going to get high-level marketers as well, salespeople. My guest that I interviewed last week, her episode is on how to get government money.
Okay. Yeah,
I talk about a lot of interesting.
I've listened to a couple of your podcasts. They're incredible. Just so informative. I had no idea the whole world of what is it? Angel investment?
Yes, angel investment.
Man, that was super cool, and I would like to get in on that. I'll have to do some more research there.
He's a good friend, and when we get if we can get Bingo Bongo may have that potential.
All right. Fingers crossed. Well, cool. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing all of this insight and knowledge on the topic. I definitely do not know marketing at the level I need to be. So, yeah, this has been really helpful. If anyone has any questions, let me change back to this slide here. If you want to bring your... yep, there you go. So if anyone has any questions that they want to ask Tyson now, by all means, throw that into the Zoom chat box and we can spend a couple minutes on it. If not, if you're watching this video after the fact, then you can send Tyson an email. You can contact him through his website, Scaling Your Company? I'm sorry.
That is correct.
All right, scalingyourcompany.com. All right. So while we're waiting to see if any questions come through, I'm going to just go ahead and say that next week we have another webinar in the series, webinar number 4. I'm going to be giving a presentation on blended learning and how to take advantage of online games with worksheets in lessons. These could be lessons in class or online lessons. But I've been doing this for the last couple years now, and having students do worksheets in class as we play a game is a really fun interactive way for them to get in the habit of doing the worksheets. They learn how to do, they learn the process, and we find they go home and they complete them, and our homework success rate is so much higher from doing something like this. So we're going to talk about that next week. If you are free, please join us. If not, please check out the video after the fact. And then finally, are there any questions? Now is your chance. Otherwise, you're going to have to maybe shell out a little cash to ask Tyson any further questions.
So actually, I don't usually accept questions outside. And it's not to be mean, but the main thing is if I have any free time, it should be dedicated to my Japan Switch team and One Coin English team.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, if you're busy, as busy as you are, I'm busy, and I work sometimes 12 to 14 hours a day. So, every minute, I know where that goes. So I can completely understand how you've got to make things as efficient as possible. So, well, I think we do have one question. And so spring is coming up. And I think most schools think, all right, spring is the biggest time of year to get new students in Japan. New school, only 4 months old. Do you have any recommendations, any ideas for a spring campaign? I'm not sure if this viewer, if they're interested in a free or paid or what, but anything for a new school, spring's coming up. Your one chance of the year to really make an impact. So you said, get out there, do some posting or flyering. Obviously, making a sign at this point is a little bit too late in the game. They probably can't do that. And you can't really just go to a kindergarten or elementary school. So do you have any other sort of secret weapons that a new school of 4 months could take advantage of?
So I think standing out in public might be hard to do handing out flyers.
Yeah.
But I think definitely just going to... let's say going to all the houses and putting it in. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably come up with two flyers.
Okay. So come up with two different designs?
Yeah, two different designs.
And post them to the same location 2 times.
Yes, but like with a different frequency.
Okay.
So it's kind of like one is just kind of getting to know you.
Right.
And the second one is more of the offer.
Okay.
So you don't need to try to sell them on the first time, just... try to get them interested. So the goal of the first flyer is to get them interested. The goal of the second flyer is to take action. So you should have the special offer in the second one.
Very cool. Yeah, I fully agree with that. We're starting our posting campaign soon. Go ahead. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you.
it's okay. For the campaign, I would say you definitely need to see what the other companies are doing.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is in Tokyo, everyone stopped charging entrance fees.
Okay.
And like it changed from everyone doing entrance fees to giving like 1 month for free.
Okay.
So you need to really see what the other, and I'll just kind of even figure out now, like what campaigns are people throwing out there.
Right.
And so when you launch that second flyer, mm-hmm. you'll know what type of campaign to launch.
Okay. So yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like the entrance versus when to do the entrance versus when to do the conversion attack?
Sure. So the first one would just be like an awareness. We're out here. Get to know you. No. And yeah, great. I misread that too. What is the best campaign? So yeah, what, I guess you understood that even though I didn't probably convey it correctly. Yeah. So what is the content of the campaign? Yeah. I mean, for us, it's our 10-year anniversary. So we said like 10 years, 10 free lessons. We're hoping that that's going to be enticing. And one thing that as a kids English school in the countryside, one thing we've found that has been a cool way of marketing, to getting our face out there, is actually you can rent a parking space in supermarkets in places. And this is cool. You just pop up a tent and, you know, set up some games and you get to meet people. The kids can interact with the teachers, the managers. If you have a Japanese manager, they can talk to the parents, explain the school. So we found, yeah, like you said, anything that you can do that gets your face out there, but also, you know, makes your services known. They can get to know you, see you, see, you know, how you teach, how you interact with kids. But again, that's not something that you can just do right away. It takes a little bit of time and planning and a little bit of money, but another idea that, you know, might be worth something.
Jeremy, do you have any other ideas?
Let's see. What have we been doing? I haven't done it yet, but I want to get a mascot, like a yurukiara, and I want to just like have our mascot run around the street. If we cause an accident, then that's not going to be good. But otherwise, I think the visibility. Do you have any experience with that?
No, I don't.
All right.
When we did the TV appearance, we did have like some of our hilarious teachers appear.
Okay, I'm gonna go research that. I want to find it.
So it's in a way they're a yurukiara without the costume.
Okay, so yeah. By the way, if anyone's not familiar with the Japanese yurukiara, is just like a big, you know, plush mascot, like you would see at a sports event or. And they're really popular here in Japan. Every city has one to promote their local foods or their local goods. So, all right. Well,
so I'm trying to think of another way to help that person, though. It's, yeah, because it's 4 months COVID. So I think that's one. I guess I'll give away this idea because I've been giving away to my clients, but I guess I'll give it away. It's one is I recommend teaming up with another local business.
Okay.
And you hand out both of their flyers.
Yeah, I know I've heard of that happening. Like hair salons. We used to have a client who was a hairstylist and he would come in and we'd team up and do that. On that note, find a local bookshop. If you're a kid's Eikaiwa, find a local bookshop and see if you can do a book reading and they'll advertise to their customers. You advertise to their customers, that kind of combined marketing force. I fully agree with that.
And I think because it's COVID, like everybody's struggling.
Yeah.
So you offering to help in a way to like please their customers more, it's way easier to get in. So it's actually, COVID sucks, but it's actually easier to get in now.
Okay.
Because everyone's struggling and looking for, everyone's wondering what to do.
Right, right. No, I hear that. All right. Well, I think that's probably a good point for us to wrap it up, Tyson. I want to say thanks again for all of your awesome information. I think it's been helpful. I mean, of course, it's been super helpful to me, but hopefully our viewers and anybody watching the video after the fact. Like I said, any questions, you can shoot those off to Tyson or to me. And we hope to see you guys again. Thanks, Tyson.
Cheers. All right. Good luck, everyone.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.